All right, take your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I can't take it any longer. It's getting hot. When the sweat's rolling down your back, it's time to quit. Not preaching, just taking the coat off. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We're going to read the first five verses together. We'll read them responsively. I'm going to try to pick up the pace so that I can catch us up on time here, but Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Let's finish on verse 5 together, our text verse. Ready? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And we'll stop there for right now. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we preach. Fill me with your power. Holy Spirit, would you do that which I cannot do? Lord, though the service might be just and the sermon just a bit abbreviated, the truth need not be. Help me to rightly divide it, rightly be able to communicate it to your people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Seems that we live in a world that wears its feelings on its shirt sleeve. Good night. If I were growing up and somebody said something that offended me and I got upset about it, I probably would have got whooped. My dad would have said, you sissy, get back out there and don't you worry about what they say. Now, my dad would go to jail for that. We live in a world that gets offended by everything. Everybody's looking for a reason to get offended. If you're a gun-carrying Christian, you offend somebody. Well, their lack of gun and their lack of Christianity offends me. Well, if you don't wear a rainbow flag, then you and you hate the sodomite lifestyle, then you offend somebody. Well, guess what? We're not supposed to love everything that's wrong. Say, well, your position offends me. Well, your position offends me. My Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, we Christians shouldn't be offended by them. We Christians are, we have been kowtowing long enough. And I'm going to, Brother Mike got me started here. Hang on. Yeah, buddy. We Christians have been backing away from the world so much that we're afraid of the world. Can I tell you something? I'm not afraid of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Did you know the world has nothing I want? Amen. Their drug addiction, I don't want. Their alcoholism, I don't want. Their smoking, I don't want. Their filthy lifestyles, I don't want. Their immorality, I don't want. Their sodomy, God doesn't want. Them coming into the wrong bathroom, God doesn't want it, neither do I, and neither should you. You say, well, you might offend somebody. I don't care. Good night. You ought to go back 60, 70 years and listen to some of these old-time preachers. Lord have mercy. I was listening to a sermon by J. Frank Norris in the 1940s. J. Frank Norris was rough as a corn cob, a dried one from last year. J. Frank Norris was a rough corn cob when he got saved, but when he got it, he got it. When he started preaching, I mean, he took on the mafia. He took on the mob. He took on organized crime. He took on the Southern Baptist Convention. He took on the American Baptist Convention, and he won against all of them.
Yes, sir.
He was preaching. I was listening to the sermon. I almost couldn't believe my ears. I backed it up just to hear it again to make sure I didn't hear the wrong thing and realized back then what he said wasn't cussing. He said, I was mean as hell before I got saved, and I'm mean as hell after I got saved. Oh, wow. You know what? He was. He wasn't afraid to call it what it was. Can I tell you something? the problem's not the White House, it's the church house. We wouldn't have an Obama if we had men of God with a backbone. When Christians quit knocking on doors and quit soul winning and started going to Calvinism, like Brother Gus was teaching this morning, that's called lazy Christianity. Did you know that soul winning and separation go together? And when America quit soul winning, America's standards went down the commode in a hurry. You start getting yourself cleaned up and start winning souls, you'll clean yourself up a whole lot faster. I believe it. I know it's true. It's biblical. Now, listen to me very carefully. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Now, the government wants us to use any bathroom you feel like using on that certain day. We want to make more money, so we want to take money from somebody that makes more money than us to give us more money. I don't understand that. My daddy taught me a long time ago, you want to buy something? Good. Go earn the money. Well, what can I do, Dad? Go knock on doors, go mow grass, go shovel snow, go clean somebody's gutters out, go do something. You find work. Well, Dad, can you loan me the money? I'll do work for you. Nope, you go find a job. Man, I bought my first car when I was a week before I turned 16. Can I tell you how I earned my money? Mowing grass, trimming hedge. It was, and by the way, I couldn't just buy the car. My dad said, you can buy the car when you can pay for the insurance and the gas that goes in it too. He didn't pay my car insurance. I did. He didn't pay for my gas. I did. If I didn't have the gas, the car sat out in front of the house. Say, boy, he was mean. Well, I learned how to pay my bills. You know, there's something to character. I didn't complain that the school teacher made more money as me as a student. I just expected that. When I started work for the pizza restaurant, I worked for a little Greek fella, and I started delivering pizza and working in the back and making things and then delivering food. I didn't complain about making $2.15 an hour. I got to drive his little 1980 Chevy Chevette 3-speed. I didn't have to use my own car to deliver pizza. Now, I'd ridden scooters that could go faster than that stupid thing and probably safer. But may I say something? I didn't complain because the boss made more money than I did. I just asked him for more hours because I needed more money. You see, there was a time when people had this thing the right way, not ask the government for everything they wanted. We didn't have a government-dependent society. Now, hang on here. It's amazing. We don't want criminals who rob, rape, and steal and kill the police and run from the police. But we should understand when they do kill the police that, well, it's just the lifestyle they've grown up in. That old dog don't hunt. Where I came from, you shoot a dog like that. It's called an egg-sucking dog. You got an egg-sucking dog, there's only one way to fix him. That's put a bullet in his head and dig a hole in the ground. And pardon me for saying it that way, but that's what it is.
Yes.
Now, we don't want children to get hurt feelings because they lose a ball game, so we quit keeping score and give everybody a trophy.
Wrong.
Gag. Gag. We don't want to offend a child with a bad grade, so now many public schools quit keeping grades and they start giving numbers. Folks, we have a wimpy generation. What happened to the 16, 17-year-olds of the 1940s that lied about their age to go fight in a war? Now they'll fight you to keep their computer. Take mom and dad to court if they take their computer away from them or don't buy them a cell phone. Well, mine can take me to court. They didn't have either. And they're doing all right. Everybody doing all right? Man, there's so much I want to say. Here's what the National Education Society said. We do not want to offend a child with a bad grade. Now we will use numbers and not grades, but everyone will pass and go on. Letter grades are from a less enlightened age and are harmful. I'll pull a book off a shelf written in the 1800s, and most people in this room couldn't read it without a dictionary sitting beside you.
Right.
We want to believe that we are still the best educated country in America, and we are not.
Amen. Far from it.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Now, children used to run and play at recess. We played cops and robbers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We took our cap guns to school. We used finger guns, rubber band guns, sticks, stones, threw them at each other, and beat each other over the head with them. We used to play cowboys and Indians. Now they play Sodom and Gomorrah. We used to play dodgeball. Did you know that dodgeball has been outlawed in the public school system because it's a violent game? Lord have mercy, if we didn't have somebody with blood going somewhere at PE after dodgeball, it was not a good game.
That's right.
You say, you shouldn't have said that about the sodomites. Well, we didn't call it that. We called it smear the... It's not LGBT, but it did start with a Q.
They put a Q on the back of it.
Yeah, buddy, now they put the Q with it. Can I tell you, we didn't worry about being politically correct. We didn't even know what politics was. I grew up in Ohio. We had the Cleveland Indians. We didn't think that was a bad thing. We always wanted to be one.
Yeah.
As long as you beat a pirate, an Indian beat a pirate any day. Glory to God. And you didn't, for sure. The Browns had to beat the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't do it very often. Now you can get expelled from school if you bite your Pop-Tart and it's in the shape of a gun and you hold it up. And they have expelled children in school over that. They've expelled children in school for going like this. Good night. I shot every teacher I had when they had their back turned. Pow, 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 pow. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. Now, wait a minute. It used to be that the teacher and or the principal paddled the disobedient students. Now, in every school system, virtually every week, and I can guarantee you, I have the numbers to prove it, every month of the year in virtually every school system in America, teachers go to the hospital over the students.
That's right.
Not only if you get paddled at school, you got paddled at home.
That's right.
Even if you didn't do it, because you never did it, and mom knew you never did it, but dad didn't know you never did it and gave it to you again.
Very easily could have.
Yeah, buddy. It seems as though if you're a Christian, you have to tolerate all the hatred, the sin, the vile living, and the immorality because you're biased. Well, I hate to tell you something. I'm not going to tolerate it. By the way, I'm not mean, usually. I'm not rude, most of the time. But may I say this? They're not going to intimidate me.
Right.
I'm not going to back down preaching that which is right.
Amen.
Now, I've chosen to use certain biblical words because I have a less likely chance of getting convicted in court by using the word sodomite other than some other words. By the way, they hate that word more than anything. Mm-hmm. Notice it isn't LGBTQS. LGBTQ can all be solved with one letter, S. For sodomite.
Amen.
It encompasses the whole thing. By the way, virtually every state in the union still has sodomy laws.
Yes, they just ignore them.
Now, a peaceful religion is one that declares jihad on any infidel who doesn't accept the teachings of Allah. But Christianity is a brutal, violent, biased, intolerant, and evil religion. I hate to tell you something, but Sharia law in Islam is not a peaceful religion.
Right.
Listen to what I'm about to say. Public schools in Maryland and other states have the national, they have their Islam months. Now listen to me. They are teaching the children and they are reciting what it takes to become a Muslim, and they have to repeat it out loud, and if they don't, they can be expelled from school, and they're taking Muslim vows in doing it. And it's happening all over America in many states. That's out of the pit of hell. But if a Christian gets up and reads the Bible, oh, you can't do that. That might offend somebody. Now, America used to have thick skin. Now America has thinner skin than my 98-year-old grandmother. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that there is a way for us to get thick skin. I want you to notice verse 5 here in Ecclesiastes 8, and I will hurry. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. Wow. I like that. God said if you'll keep his commandments, you're not going to feel the evil as it attacks you, and it won't have to. It may sting a little, but it's not gonna kill you. Can I tell you something? I've been through evil attacks. You know what? I made it through every one of them. Amen. I can't tell you I enjoyed any of them, but you can make it through.
Yes.
Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, woe is me. Well, pick up your bottom lip, get it out of the dirt, get a good dose of your salvation underneath your belt, restore the joy of your salvation, get excited, go tell somebody about Jesus, and quit worried about who's attacking you.
Amen.
When I face an attack, I go out and go help somebody else. You get the blood of Jesus flowing, it don't matter what's going to happen. You'll charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun.
Amen.
You as a child of God are to have thick enough skin to handle what the world and the devil dishes out. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We go about with hurt feelings. Well, I have some friends and they don't like the church that we go to, and they've changed, and they wonder why we are what we are, and I just get so confused. I don't. There it is.
Amen.
It's what you separate over right there. They'll either separate over the King James Bible or soul winning. One or the other. Say, it's got to be something more than that. No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, we live in a world afraid to admit that the problem is not society or things. You know, it amazes me that the liberals can't figure out what the problem is. We take all the guns out of D.C., and yet it's the most violent city in America.
Yep. Right. That's right. Amen.
But they want to restrict the guns from everybody else. Well, they might restrict them, but they're going to have a few less of them to restrict because they're going to have to pry it away.
That's right.
Can I tell you something? Taking the guns away only takes care of the honest criminal.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Did you know that drugs are illegal?
Mm-hmm.
How good's our government doing with that one? You take all the guns away, how good's that going to do for the streets of America? The 10 safest cities in America was on Fox News this week. All of them have the best policies on guns. They have the freest policies on gun. Remarkable. Did you know you're less likely to pick on somebody who can whoop the snot out of you? It's proven every time. Now, I got to hurry here. America wants to blame it on sickness. America wants to blame it on society. All the people in D.C., we've got to figure out what the problem is. We've got to get rid of all these guns. The guns are the problem. The problem is the people, not the
That's
guns.
Right. Amen.
Did you know a gun never fires itself?
That's right.
You could pile this room full of guns and it'll kill nobody.
That's right.
Loaded to the max, locked, loaded, safety's off. Won't kill anybody until somebody pulls it out and points the trigger, points the barrel and pulls the trigger. Problem is people. The problem is we, the people.
Right.
Now, it's time for us to get thicker skin. It's time for Christians to get thicker skin, and I have 9 minutes to fly. Number one, first of all, we have to realize all humans are sinners.
Yes.
And it shouldn't surprise us when sinners sin.
Right.
Do me a favor. When you go home, look in the mirror and say, you're a sinner.
Yes, sir.
It'll do you some good.
Right.
Can I tell you something? You're going to sin.
Right.
Doesn't mean you give up.
Right.
Did you know what? Parents, listen to me. Your children are going to sin. Now, my daughter-in-law won't, but my son will. Trying to make up here. Wait a minute. Did you know saved people sin too? Just because you got saved doesn't mean you stop sinning.
That's right. That's right.
It'll mean you probably won't enjoy it as much. But saved people sin too.
That's right.
Did you know that leaders sin as well as followers?
Yes, sir.
Did you know that the disciples sinned?
That's right.
Go through the Gospels and look at the disciples. Most of you would have gotten upset and left their church.
Yeah.
Peter believed in ghosts. He said, man, that guy, that thing walking on the water's got to be a spirit. And Jesus said, be not afraid, it's I. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come on the water. He was believing in ghosts. He quit the ministry twice. But 43 days later, he was preaching Pentecost. Guess God could use him. Let's not excuse our sin. Let's not just say, well, I'm a sinner, I'm going to sin, so I might as well go get drunk this week. No, I don't think that's the right way to be. But may I say this, when you fall, get back up. If one of our people falls, let's help them back up. Let's not kick them while they're down. If one of our young people does something stupid and goes into sin, guess what? This preacher's going to be there and pick them up. You start kicking at them, I'm going to start swinging at you. Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to stand up here and tell everybody what they did either. Well, you're just trying to cover up their sin. Well, it's been covered by the blood of Jesus. God will take care of that. Sin's not always evil, but evil is always sin. Evil is an alliance of people to purposely destroy someone else. Sin is a transgression of the law. It's breaking a rule. Evil is when two people go together or more and they're trying to tear somebody's reputation
Amen.
Down.
That's right.
Amen. That's called gossip. That's evil.
That's right.
I got to hurry here. Number two. Man, I want to preach this thing longer. So, first of all, to get thick skin, you got to realize all of us are sinners, including the person you're looking at in the mirror.
That's right.
Number two. Reading and obeying God's word builds thick skin. Look at verse 5 again. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. Can I tell you where the commandments are? Right there. If you'll know what the commandments are and you'll obey those commandments, guess what? You get thicker skin. Did you know that baby Christians generally fall out faster than people that have been saved a long time? Say why? Because their skin's not thick enough yet. They start growing. Then they start seeing themselves as the sinners they are, and they get discouraged, and they back off. Can I tell you something? The more spiritual you get, the more sin in your own life you're going to see. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to see yourself as you really are. A dirty, rotten, filthy, wicked, good-for-nothing, scum-of-the-earth sinner. Those that say, well, look at me, I got it all together. Matter of fact, I got so together I can sin and nobody even knows it, and I still got it all together. Well, God's keeping score. You're going to fall real quick.
That's right.
Anybody that ever got a glimpse of God said, woe is me. They didn't say, look at me.
Right.
Trust me. When I went to Bible college, I told my children as they went to college, the glamour boys that get up and say, look at me, stay as far away from them as you can get. Them pretty boys ain't going to take you nowhere but to a road to hell. You can spot them a mile away. I can pull up on the campus of that college and say, watch that one, and that one. I pulled up one time and looked at my daughter and said, what is that? She started laughing. I found out a week later, got expelled. She said, Dad, you're pretty good. I said, I've been around this way too long. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. Reading the Bible takes character. Did you know you ought to read the Bible at the same time every day till you learn how to read it every day? If you'll set a time, by the way, I've taught a lot of people to read the Bible this way. Don't put food in your mouth till you put food in your spirit.
That's right.
If you promise God you're going to read your Bible every day and you won't eat food till you eat your Bible food first, guess what? Eventually you're going to start reading your Bible because you're going to get hungry. I believe you ought to read your Bible in the same place. Same time, same place every day. Make it a habit.
Yes, sir.
You take a shower in the same place.
Right.
You do many things in the same place every day. Can I tell you something? If you read your Bible in the same place, it'll become a habit to you. Character builds calluses that harden you to opposition. I have a permanent callus right there on my hand. I still do enough work to keep a callus. Amen. Swinging sledgehammers and mauls, splitting mauls, and I like work. I do. I enjoy it. And that thing's just about as hard as they come, Brother Mike. It's been there for 30 years or more. I mean, I just got a callus. And it's hard. Guess what? If I got something hard to face, I just like that, and I don't feel it. I know what hand to grab it with and where. Say why? Because it's been facing enough opposition, it can handle it. And that's how you thicken your skin up. It's got to face that abrasion and that. And it may blister a while, and it may hurt for a while. It may peel every once in a while, but guess what? It's still pretty tough.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it ought to be. You know, we don't need young people with calloused fingertips from texting and computer games. They need to learn the word work is a good word. Sweat is a good word.
Yeah.
Good night. I don't even want to go there. Can I tell you something? If you'll keep these kids so busy and so tired from working, they're going to be too tired to send nasty pictures on their telephones to each other. They got time to take pictures of themselves and send it all over the place. They're not working hard enough. Get rid of their telephones and you won't have the problem either. I gotta hurry. Number three. Man, I'll finish with this one. Thin skin prevents bitterness. Thick skin, I'm sorry. Thick skin prevents bitterness. It doesn't create it. Did you know that the thicker your skin is, the less likely you are to get offended? When I was a kid, I had real thick skin on a certain part of my anatomy because it got exercised regularly. Wait a minute. Did you know that the thicker your skin, the less the cold, evil, chilly winds will bother you?
Right.
My mom and dad go to Florida every year. If it gets below 60 degrees, they turn the heat on. Good night. You go through winter around here and it gets up over 40 and I got coats off. I'm running around short sleeve shirt. I've built up a resistance to it. Now, when we had been in California for 2 years and South Carolina for 4 years, I'd missed 7 winters, and then I went back to Chicago. Ow. That first winter was not good because we had 2 blizzards that first year. It was not a fun winter. I was cold. Now, when I left from Bible college, I used to never even put a top coat on until it got to single digits. I just wear a suit coat. Don't tell my mother I said that. But I didn't even wear anything but a suit coat till I got into single digits. Say why? Because I'd been so used to it, I'd built up an immunity to it, I didn't even feel the cold. I'm not that stupid anymore. I mean, I've wisened up since then. But you can build up that immunity the more you're around it. My in-laws live in northern Minnesota. If it gets over 50 degrees, they're about ready to die and open the windows. We were up there a few years ago. No lie, cross my heart and hope Brother Mike dies. Just tithe on it. Listen to me. We were up there and it got down into the 30s in June at night. My sister-in-law had all the windows open in the house at night. I don't know about you. I was freezing my tail off. She got mad because we closed the windows.
Go ahead and get mad.
I looked at her. I said, girl, you can close your bedroom door. You can open your window. You can bust the window out for all I care. But I'm not going home with pneumonia. This is not normal.
No.
I said, my garden's already that high. I said, you can't even bust the ground out of here because it's still frozen. I said, keep the cotton picking windows shut at night around here. Oh, this is good. I said, shut up. I said, you and I are going toe to toe. I won. I mean, we were all dying. We'll just put more blankets on. Shut the stupid window. I can't put 20 blankets on. I can't move now. I mean, they're nuts. They're Eskimos. Oh, wait a minute. They got thick skin to... to cold temperatures. You bring them down here and it gets over 50 degrees and they think it's summertime. They've built up that immunity. Did you know that you can do that against the cold, evil chill? Evil is chilly. Death is cold. It's cruel. Cruelty is cold. You can't stop evil from coming, but you can insulate yourself and keep it from bothering you so bad. Okay, how many of you remember the old stupid boots that you used to buckle up? Put over, oh yeah, you all know what I'm talking about? What do they call those things? Arctics, yeah. You say, what are they good for? Nothing. They do keep your feet dry, sometimes, if they fit. Man, I remember being back in Ohio, we'd have 2-3 feet of snow, and I'm only as tall as this part of the pulpit. Put them puppies on there. My mom would put our feet in bread bags. You'd have socks on, put bread bags on, put more socks on, then put your feet inside them things. Say why? Try to insulate. That plastic could keep that heat in there a little bit, and your toes wouldn't fall off as fast. Notice I didn't say at all, but as fast. You try to insulate yourself. I know enough about cold weather. You put layers on and you try to keep that layered in there. One thick layer isn't quite enough usually. Unless you have a 10X suit. Then it's plenty. I have a hunting suit that I was given years ago. It's called 10X. It is the greatest stuff in all the world. At zero, if you zip it up and walk to your hunting stand, you're panting like a dog and sweating. I mean, at zero, you're zipping down and you're walking out there because you're about to die. I've only worn the whole suit here one time and had to take the coat off because I was dying. I couldn't take it. It's too hot. It's really good stuff. But you can't shovel snow in it. You'll last about 2 minutes and the sweat's going... I mean, you're toast. And the butter's melting, let me tell you. You know, we all know winter's coming. Can I tell you something? You get ready for it. You know evil's going to come. You got to get ready for it. You know, I've already got basically all the wood I need for next winter. I've already been putting it in store. Already been cutting. Had enough left over from last winter and got a few more loads this winter, this spring and summer already. Got a little bit more to split and stack, and I'm done. Praise God, it's all at home. But can I tell you something? I know it's coming, so I get ready for it. Did you know you ought to insulate your house? You know, when the real cold winter comes, if you got bad windows, you can buy this plastic that you put over them and seal them up. Man, it does a great job. What's it, Josh and Ruth Ann's apartment in Kentucky? God have mercy. Walked into the bedroom and the curtains are going in the wintertime. I said, son, we got to talk. I said, y'all are dying in here because it's cold. I said, everybody's bundled up in coats. I said, I think I could help you. He said, well, Dad, I just don't. I said, let me take care of this. I went to the store, got some plastic. Man, all of a sudden the curtains weren't going every time the wind blew. My daughter-in-law loved it. Can I tell you something? If you insulate a little bit, it does help. I realize it wasn't their house, but they sure did learn a lot. Seal up them cracks. Might as well leave the door open or the window open, as cold as it was. Yeah, and nothing like it's 10 degrees outside and you're watching the curtains going every time the wind blew. I'm thinking, I looked at my wife and said, something's got to change here. Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We got to get ready for those evil days. Can I tell you something? The Christian is now the evil. Right has become wrong and wrong has become right. You're going to face it. Get ready for it. Get thick skin. By the way, I'd rather be guilty of being too strong than too soft. I think God has a soft spot to people that are too aggressive than they are too passive. You give me somebody too aggressive, I can calm him down. You got somebody too passive, it's hard to jack him up. You give me the guy that wants to work too long, then the guy doesn't want to work at all. Oh, I'd like that, huh? Yeah, not too many of them left, are there? Can I tell you something? let's be that type of Christian. Let's get thick skin. Let's not be afraid to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Let's not be afraid to witness. Let's not be afraid to give out a gospel tract. Let's not be afraid to say, I'm from Grace Baptist Church. By the way, I don't duck when I say it. Josh and I were, he was visiting somebody that he's known for years and years and years and years. And it's an old bus family of his from long time ago. We were over there yesterday. She was looking at the gospel tract. She happened to be a black lady. She said, man, them's nice. She said, them's fancy. I said, don't worry, we're not fancy. I said, printing's cheap. I said, we're plain meat and taters. She said, good, I like meat and taters. I said, we're just the way it's supposed to be. I believe we'll get her. By the way, she'll be as welcome here as anybody else. Can I tell you something? That's the way it ought to be. We ought not be afraid of those things. The man I won to Christ yesterday, Josh and I, that family member was here today. They walked out that door today and put their head on my shoulder and started weeping and said, thanks for winning my brother to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
They said, you don't understand. He's always been hard. We didn't think he'd ever get saved. It was like taking candy from a baby. Matter of fact, easier. He didn't cry. I didn't do anything special. I just walked up and wasn't afraid of him. Say why? I had something more powerful than he.
That's right. Amen.
This old lost world works by intimidation. Guess what? Doesn't work. Don't let the world intimidate you. Get thick enough skin. Can I tell you why you're afraid to go soul winning sometimes? Because you're afraid what people might think. Afraid you might make a mistake. Well, can I tell you something? If you make the mistake, they can't go any farther into hell.
That's right.
But if you don't go, they can go to hell.
Amen.
The mistake is in not going and then not sharing.
That's right.
It's not in, well, I don't know if I can say it just the right way. Try.
Right.
Read the gospel tract, tell them what to do, and do it. It'll get them saved every time.
Right.
If they'll obey it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Time for us Christians to quit being so afraid of doing right. Read your Bible. Get into it. Witness. Do the things you're supposed to do. Clean your life up and get some thick skin.